This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Jeremy Wolf.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Good Neighbor Podcast. I am your host, of course, Jeremy Wolf, and today I am joined by another good neighbor. We have Maxine Gomez, and Maxine is joining us from DryTech 247. Right?
That's right. Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And thanks, as always, to our listeners for tuning in to learn more about our great community and the businesses that serve us. So, Maxine, why don't you start off by telling everyone a little bit about your business?
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. I wish more people knew about the importance of mold and indoor air quality. So I'm happy to share a little bit about my experience because that's really what I've been doing for the last, since 2015, water, mold, fire, crime scene, emergency, catastrophic cleanup. But really my passion is in indoor air quality, which is figuring out what we're breathing, what we're being exposed to, because there really are so few regulations about it that we have to take our health and our air quality into our own hands and make it our responsibility. So, I'm happy to share a little bit about that.
Okay. So since 2015, so you started the business in 2015.
Yes.
How did you end up in this business? Let's talk a little bit about your journey. Is this, I'm guessing this is not something you wanted to do since you were young. I don't know if this was like a passion of yours, air quality, or something that evolved along the way. How did you ultimately end up landing at starting a mold business or mold remediation business?
Well, yeah, it's kind of a funny story and I'll try and sum it up, but I didn't wake up wanting to be the mold lady, but it is a role that I have graciously and humbly accepted. And I'm so happy to be able to help others, because when I was a little girl, I did want to be a doctor and I made it all the way to pre-med. And then I interned for one of the top orthopedic surgeons in South Florida. We did the FDA approval for the spinal cord disc replacement. And although I was fascinated by the health and the gross anatomy of it, I saw how this doctor lived and I was like, you mean I got another 8 years of school? And I don't know how much money and debt to like work 15 hours and hide my golf club so I could sneak out once in a while. And I just said, that's not how I can best serve. And truly in my spirit, I'm a visionary entrepreneur. So I had different startups. I've been in restaurant consulting. I did a retail product launch. We sold to Whole Foods and Walgreens and all of that fun stuff. And then as I was looking for the next opportunity, one of my friends is a public adjuster. He had just moved here from Michigan and he was like, Max, I really don't get the culture here. I don't understand how to get people to work. You have built a business. Can you build me a restoration company that I can just send you referrals? And I was like, man, I don't know anything about this. Listen, it's not that hard. If it's wet, you dry it. If it's moldy, you tear it out. You do a good job, bill fair price, you show up on time, and you'll be fine. And he was right. 1 year later, I was, you know, kind of learning the ins and outs of the business. And I learned it by bootstrapping it. Like, it was me and equipment, and I showed up and did the jobs myself until I learned how to do it. And I was very lucky that I had people in the industry that kind of took me under their wing. And then what I really saw was that there was a need for kind of bringing a woman's touch to the industry, because people were coming in here, ripping people off, tearing out unnecessary walls, doing unnecessary work. And I said, the job that we do is important. People deserve to have a clean and safe environment that they can live and breathe in. So I figured out I couldn't help people through medicine, but I could help them with their buildings, and that could be part of their healing process. So I became licensed as an instructor in mold remediation. So I teach for NORMI, which is the National Organization of Remediators and Microbial Inspectors. My background in neuroscience and the microscopic really helped me kind of grasp the holistic approach to this industry. So I personally got sick with mold. I worked with medical professionals and doctors in the industry, and we wrote protocols to help people. So because I couldn't get to the jobs myself anymore, I was really able to pivot and offer my remote consultations. So even now we have the ability to, I have boots on the ground that go and do the protocols and the testing, and I review everything with our clients. Or we had at-home test kits so that people, wherever they are, can figure out what they're being exposed to and still have access to an expert that can review their results and walk them through what needs to be done. Because what I wish more people knew is that if you get a proper inspection, the remediation process doesn't have to be so intimidating. And that, if we're being really honest and I tell you all my secrets, more often than not, what needs to be done is just a cleaning of the HVAC system and a really good spring cleaning of the inside of a home.
Yeah. So solve a lot of the issues.
The majority of them. I mean, you know, there's so many things that we're not taught as adults, right? We're not taught that you need to change your air filter or clean your air ducts. We're not taught that the reason we do spring cleaning is not just so you feel good about yourself, because you need to rotate the linens in your house. You need to make sure that those things aren't sitting there. This used to be a tropical problem, right? But what it really is now is an HVAC problem. So beautiful properties that have been around the world without any mold issues for hundreds of years did fine. And then all of a sudden tourism took off and you could travel across the globe for a couple of $100s. So we put air conditioning everywhere. And we thought that because it was cold, it was doing its job, but that doesn't really mean that it's dehumidifying properly. And until we get an understanding of the indoor air quality and HVAC balances, we won't really understand how to prevent mold. And that's why it's really been a new issue.
That's very interesting. And education is so important, right? That's something that I had no idea about. And I want to get into some common misconceptions or myths that people have around the industry, but there's a lot that you said that I want to kind of go over. First of all, I must say you are a rare breed, Maxine. The way you talked about opening a business and being an entrepreneur, you're like, oh, it's as easy as that. As if to say there was no challenge. It was just, oh yeah, it was, obviously, it was so easy.
Well, like it's hard.
I mean, starting a business, obviously, there's a lot of highs and lows, and it can be very challenging. But I love your mindset and your mentality around it. You don't focus on any of that. It's just like, yeah, of course, it's easy. Everything seems to come pretty easily to you. But something you mentioned about bringing a different perspective to an industry kind of saturated with men, right? I've had this common theme running on the podcast as of late. I've done a lot of interviews with women-owned businesses in predominantly male trades. Just going back a few, maybe you know some of them. I don't know if you know Tamara Chase from Chase Roofing.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
so she's been on the podcast. She actually does her own podcast I've done with her. I also have, let me think here. I had Priscilla Fletcher on recently with Priscilla's Plumbing. The Lady Plumber. Okay. So she does plumbing. I had Angelica Negrete with Royal Garden Landscaping. So a landscaping company owned by females. And then I had, they just started, they live out in Davie. I got to check my notes because there's so many people and I speak with, I can't really remember half the time what I'm doing here. Let's see. I had, come on now, don't fail me. You can keep talking while I look. It's cool. Let me not forget. Okay, so it was Rally Now Restoration. So you're in the mold remediation company. They do restoration. It was Kayla Freed and Joanna Marish. They just opened the business recently, but they do restoration. So again, there's this common theme. I feel like I'm surrounding myself with powerhouse female entrepreneurs, giving us a different perspective on these things. So it's so cool, and I'm happy to have another one on the show. So... But I did want to talk a little bit more because one of the reasons that we do this show, not only to get a kind of a look under the hood and hear from the owner of a business and learn a little bit about them and their backstory, but also to kind of educate the community, as you were talking about air conditioning being often the problem. What are some other typical misconceptions or myths that people typically have or clients have or prospects or people that you speak to have surrounding what you do, Maxine?
I think most people just have fear around it. Okay. And they think that because they don't see it growing all over the walls, that it's not really affecting them. I kid around, and when I teach my class, I say, if somebody calls me and they're hysterical and they're like, oh, the sky is falling, you got to get here right away, I know that it's probably a really small issue. when somebody calls me and they're like, well, you know, this has been ongoing and I don't know what to do about it. I know that this has been, you know, a couple of months in the making and it's probably a bigger issue than they want to deal with. So the important parts are keeping things dry and ventilated. So if you don't have good air circulation in your property, that's, you're going to get pockets of humidity and that's where things start to grow. If you don't run your vent fan in your shower, and you're going to start seeing those little microbes growing on the ceiling of your shower, that just means you're not getting good air circulation or that your ducts are already contaminated. And so they're finding the humid spots to accumulate in. And there's a big difference between mold and allergens and indoor air quality specifics. Like you and I could be in the same room at the same temperature and I'd be freezing and you be hot, right? Sure. So we will experience a room in a different way. And every single body, you and I can be in the same room with the same amount of mold and have a completely different reaction. So oftentimes there's two people in a household and one can get really sick and the other doesn't. And so they're like, I don't believe you. There's no problem here, right? But our bodies don't lie. We're too sensitive. We absorb it. And really the issue is long-term exposure. Initially, if you are healthy enough and you're, you know, doing the normal things to take care of yourself, once you're no longer exposed to mold, you can pretty much kick it on your own. But if you're eating not great foods, if you're not spending any time outside and breathing fresh air, and you're constantly in a contaminated environment, or you go to bed and your room has mold in it, and then that's what you're sleeping in all night, you're going to have a really hard time kicking it. And your initial symptoms can be basic things like sneezing, coughing, headaches, stuff like that. But over long-term exposure, it gets into all sorts of weird and wacky things that you didn't think mold was capable.
I can imagine it could lead to cancer and things like that, I would think, right?
I haven't seen a cancer correlation, but that's, you know, it is a relatively new industry. We do see things like people getting misdiagnosed for Lyme disease, for fibromyalgia, for brain fog, for all sorts of wacky things that you're like, why am I feeling this way? The only symptom I had was I was exhausted. I could sleep 10 hours a day, wake up and need a nap. And I was like, maybe I'm depressed. Like even me being in the industry, I hadn't put two and two together. And I got sick, not from my jobs because I always made sure my team and I was well protected with PPE, but I was very blessed that in the last few years, I was traveling quite a bit and almost no country, even the United States has only very few mold regulations. Almost no other country has any mold regulations. So most of the hotels I stayed in, whether they were palaces in India or huts in Africa, had some kind of microbial growth and I was sleeping in it and I couldn't shake it with the travels. So coming back and going through the detox process was pretty intensive.
Very, very interesting. So I'm curious because most people, when it comes to getting inspections, and I'm getting from what we're talking about, you guys basically handle, you'll come in, do the inspection, you do all the remediation, you do everything from A to Z in that regard?
We are licensed to do everything, but I make sure that on all of my jobs, we have checks and balances. So legally, and the proper way to do it is whoever inspects it cannot be the one that remediates it.
Huh.
But I only work with a select group of contractors that I know have been trained and licensed by us that will hold our job standards to my quality expectations, because since I teach it, I really have to be and want to be open book in how we do things. And there's.
Okay. So what I was going to say is that most people, when they buy their house, they have an inspection done. And then they don't get another inspection until maybe they need like an updated wind mitigation or something like that. Or they have a problem. They see a spot in the ceiling. They're experiencing some symptoms. But let's say you don't see anything and you're not experiencing any symptoms. Should you, just as a general rule of thumb to be safe, every so often, every few years, 5 years, I don't know what it is, just have somebody come in and just do an inspection for the air quality to see? Because you may not be experiencing symptoms. Maybe it is affecting you, like you said, brain fog, sleep, and you don't correlate the two things. Would you recommend that folks do that more regularly? Because I know me, I wouldn't even think of it. I would just buy the property. And if there's no problems, I'm not going to get an inspection until I'm told I need one, right?
So I can tell you that some of the highest spore counts we have found in like rare jobs were ones that you couldn't see anything. It looked like a museum. Everything was white and clean and spotless, but there's invisible mold and people use bleach to clean things. And at the concentration that you would buy bleach on a store shelf is not the proper concentration that you would use to actually treat it in a remediation. So when people see spots of mold, all they're doing is discoloring it with bleach. So they think it's gone, but really it's still there doing its thing. So it may look clean, but that doesn't mean that it is. And you don't, it's a funny thing because in the inspection period, mold testing is not required. It is not automatic. It's not part of a 5-point or wind mitigation. So it's something that you have to ask for. And 9 out of 10 times, we will at least make the recommendation to have the air ducts cleaned. And that can range anywhere from $700 to $1,400. So, you know, for if you're buying and you're looking for these credits or you don't know exactly what you're walking into, spending the couple $100 up front is going to give you that peace of mind over time because you never really know what you're walking into. You don't know if those people had pets in there, what kind of allergens or dust has collected in the air vents, and it's not part of the testing. On the other side of it, the other part that's not included is if you're not feeling well and you go to your doctor and you ask for blood work, testing for mycotoxins is not automatic. Really? Your doctor has to request specialty testing. It's a completely different lab. It's not included in what you in the regular panel. So you may get your blood work back and your doctor's like, well, everything looks great, which is exactly what happened to me. You're fine. You're the healthiest person we've ever seen. We don't know what's wrong with you. But then I did the mycotoxin panel testing and I was completely contaminated through the roof on like a handful of things. So you really have to take the health of your property and of your body into your own responsibility.
Yeah. I'm glad we're having this conversation because I often get brain fog. I'm like, maybe I could attribute that to some unclean air quality in my house. I'm going to have to get this checked out, Maxine.
I would definitely suggest it because it's not a common thing. People just forget to change their air filters. And then you're like, oh, that's been a while. And people tell me all the time, oh, I change them all the time, once a year. What do you mean I have to have my air ducts cleaned? I mean.
You mean air filters are supposed to be white?
Yeah, they should, ideally, you know. And your air ducts should be free of dust. So if you're starting to see around your vents, like little, just because you see little dots doesn't mean it's mold, but it could be dust. And then dust starts to grow on mold. And here in South Florida, it's common to lose power, you know, especially now in the summertime with all of our storms.
Temperature goes up, humidity.
Goes up. And if you've never had your air ducts clean and there's dust particles in there, mold can start growing on the dust particles in as little as 48 hours. So just losing power for a day or two could be, if you've never had your air ducts clean, could be enough to instigate a growth pattern in there. So that's why the cleanliness is important too. You know, the mold gives off certain pheromones that attract insects. So once you see, if you've never been in a hoarding situation, there's an accumulation of dust, of natural organic building materials. And that's really where mold can be prevalent. And then you typically goes hand in hand with like an insect infestation. So it all can slowly snowball into all the other things.
Interesting. So almost every guest I speak to on the show, family is a driving force behind them. Family is so important. Obviously I have a lovely 10-year-old son, 12-year-old daughter, so important, really drives us to do great things in life. Talk a little bit about your family, Maxine.
Well, thanks. You know, I'm really blessed. My parents came here when I was very young, and I do believe that they are the true definition of the American dream. They came to give us a better opportunity for life and for education, and we watched them work really hard and try and teach us the best they could about, you know, making our way through this life. And they own their own physical therapy business and they are healers and they're beautiful people in our community. And, you know, I'm the big disappointment that I didn't become the doctor to help them grow the business. But I do hope that I have helped heal people in other ways. And they always just encourage us to do what makes us happy. And being a part of this and giving back in a different way has been very rewarding. And they, you know, they weren't super excited about having their little girl, you know, in steel toe boots. But I think considering the work we've done and the achievements we have, that they're proud now.
You said they came over here, or they're immigrants?
Well, my father is American and my mother is from Colombia. And my little sister was born in Colombia, but I was born here. So it was very interesting watching my mother and my little sister go through the immigration process where my father and I were American. But yeah, we left Colombia in the 80s. So that was, I consider myself a Miami girl.
Colombia, eh? Not very happy after last night.
Oh, so embarrassing. That is not a representation. Delete, rewind.
I wasn't talking about the beginning of the game, the storming of the I was talking about the fact that they unfortunately did not.
I couldn't even get past the beginning. I was so embarrassed.
But it was a good game, though.
Well, it was great watching Messi. He represents Miami, so we have to cheer for him. So I think all of the Colombians from Miami had this internal conflict.
Yeah, it was definitely an electric evening last night here for sure, Miami.
Oh, yes.
So you mentioned that you've been traveling a lot over the last several years. I'm assuming for leisure, or was it business related?
It was a combination, you know, doing outreach work and trying to spread the word about indoor air quality, because I do believe that what we're touching on here is at the real pinnacle of the industry. And what we discussed today will be the groundwork for the comparison of like clean water, right? If you go into a hotel right now, you have a certain expectation that you can take a shower or wash your hands or brush your teeth and the water will be clean, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that is not the same for the air that you breathe in that room. They are under no legal obligation, even in this country. They are allowed to maintain a property however they want. And if they have never cleaned their air ducts or changed an air filter, that is within their right to govern it how they choose. So you may want to look carefully at your air vents next time you stay in a hotel or you go into a public building or rent an apartment. Because one of the things that I see most often, and a lot of the people that I'm consulting with on the health side, are tenants that are renting from property managers that are not doing the right thing and they're not maintaining their buildings the way they should, and people are getting really sick. And as a renter, you basically have no rights.
So interesting. I've never even given this an inkling of thought.
No, why would
you? It makes perfect sense, though.
Yes.
Like, so, how many times have you stayed in it? Again, like you said, I stay in a hotel and it's not the cleanest of places. If the actual room is not very clean, it's pretty safe to assume that they're not cleaning the AC ducts, that there's probably mold, there's probably poor air quality. So yeah, you can go stay there and get sick. So yeah, that's something that I'd never really thought about. Interesting.
We have, I'm doing a consult for a client right now. She's staying in a beautiful building in South Beach. I mean, it's a spectacular building. You would think it would be run well. But once she did her own testing and it was very contaminated in the air ducts, and they said, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. They raised her rent. They kicked her out and they painted the walls. And within the next day, they had it rented again. So yeah. We know that no remediation happened in between that time frame. And they have every right to just keep it moving at the.
I'm certainly not for more government regulation and more red tape and more kind of involvement from the government and things like this. But this seems to be something that like makes sense to have the EPA involved in, because it's so important, right? Air quality. I would think that would already be something that would be required for properties that are housing people. Like you have to get, I would think you'd need to get just every year or whatever, just get an inspection done and have to report it somewhere. That seems pretty easy to implement something like that. And it's not too big of a burden for an owner of a property to get an inspection done once in a while, right?
Sadly, no. And, you That's know, crazy. We're trying to find the balance of helping educate contractors to do the work right. Sure. And I agree with you. I really think government should, you know, kind of back off a little bit. But I do believe that as workers, we should be regulated better. So I don't necessarily see the regulation kind of mandating people to do those things, but rather the workers having to do things correctly.
Yeah.
So Florida is one of their very few states that does license people in mold remediation. So we at least are a little bit ahead here, but technically just because you're licensed, you know, doesn't mean you have to follow it the right way. So one thing I would definitely tell people is that if you're looking to hire a contractor, you want to look to make sure that they're normie licensed or a normie member so that you know, because we can review their work. And if there's a complaint about a particular contractor, they might not lose their license, but they might lose their normie status. So if we're saying, hey, you're not running your jobs the way we trained you to do it so that you would qualify to be our kind of member, then, you know, yeah, you can be a cowboy and run things how you'd like, but that doesn't mean you can put our logo on it. So it's not really, it's at least one step that somebody can take to make sure that they're hiring somebody that at least has been trained to know how to do it. Whether they do it or not is another story.
Yeah, it all comes back to education and awareness. And I'm glad we're doing this because this helps to raise awareness. Again, like this has not been on my radar, but hopefully people that are listening to this will also think, yeah, maybe I should take it upon myself. It is my health after all, right? You know, I think that if you don't know, you don't know what you don't know. So and that being said, you might be experiencing some poor air quality and not even realize it. But again, spreading awareness and shining a light on this helps people to take more responsibility because it is our body and we got to make sure that we're doing well in that regard for sure.
You're going to end up paying more on the back end than if you would being informed on the front end. So it, for me personally, if you don't have the money to have somebody come out and do a proper thorough inspection, at least if you see something suspicious, we do have at-home test kits and there's things that you can do to at least be semi-aware of what you're getting into because some people have real sensitivities and they are getting really, really sick and you really have no rights. So people leave these environments and they call me and they're all fired up. Oh, I'm going to sue them and I'm going to do this. I'm like, let me tell you right now, just slow your roll because you're not going to win.
Yeah.
So let's focus on getting you healthy because getting you money is not going to happen. And I hope that that changes and that we do hold these companies accountable. And that way they know that there are the simple, proper things that can be done to protect people. And I hope as more and more companies become licensed and regulated, you'll see less of the fraudulent work. And then the work being done becomes attainable because you can trust the contractors that are doing it.
What would be one thing before we wrap up here that you'd like to leave our listeners with? It could be about your business or it could just be if you want to pass along some life wisdom or advice or anything that you think would be useful for listeners. What do you got?
Ooh, I would say that find the balance of being indoors and outdoors. Being outside and breathing fresh air has so many health benefits that, you know, we sleep 8 hours, ideally, right? And then you wake up, you get in your car, you're inside again. Then you go to work, you're another inside 8 hours again. I tell my contractors when I'm training them, hey, when you get home from work and you've been at it all day long, leave your shoes outside the door. Don't bring your shoes. That's another one. Okay? I have like shoes, no shoes in my house. Leave your shoes outside, change your shoes, and go for a walk outside. De-stress, decompress, breathe fresh air, get a little sunlight, be exposed to nature because so much of our disconnect from humanity comes from not seeing, breathing, and being around nature as a whole. So yeah. Even if it's just a 10-minute walk around the block when you get home, that could be the huge difference in, you know, giving your lungs the room to breathe, decompressing your stress, because stress and all of the lifestyle factors can affect the symptoms that we feel from mold. So, and don't eat alcohol or sugar because that's all poison.
all the fun stuff, man.
Listen, there are great alternatives, right? And I'm not saying don't enjoy life. I'm just saying find some balance in it because mold is like cancer in that it lives off of sugar. So if you are being treated for mold, but you haven't tested your home, then there's a likelihood you're still being exposed. If you have been removed from the environment, but you're still feeling symptoms, you're going to have to look at your lifestyle choices. Because if you're still consuming alcohol and eating sugar and stressed out all the time, your nervous system is not going to be able to detox. And we got to show ourselves a little grace. We deserve to breathe clean air.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can go down a rabbit hole on that whole topic with
I know, I had to sneak it in there.
Good stuff. Okay, so for anyone out there that's listening, that is perhaps experience. Maybe they've been sitting in their living room watching TV, and they've been staring for the last year at a little discoloration in their ceiling and haven't done anything. Or maybe they're just not breathing properly, and they hear this and they think, you know, I want to get a test done. I want to find out what's going on with this. How can they reach you guys? Maybe share your contact information, your website. How can we learn more?
Absolutely. I have a ton of free resources on the website. I've been through it. I'm not, you know, gatekeeping any information. I want people to know how to help themselves and how to feel better. So you can find us at www.drytech247.com, or you can reach me directly at Maxine@drytech247.com. I give a few free consults throughout the week, and then I'm happy to, you know, there's oftentimes ways that I can help just with sending me a couple pictures and I can get an idea of what's going on. So I would say don't let fear scare you from dealing with the problem, because it's construction. There's always a solution. So
very cool. We will, of course, drop a link in the description to all of your contact information for anybody that is interested. Hey, Maxine, this was rather informative. I'm glad we did this. This was fun. I learned a lot today. So thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Jeremy. Nice to have you. Thank you so much.
Of course. And thanks, as always, to our listeners for tuning in. And we'll catch everyone next time on the next episode of the Good Neighbor Podcast. Everyone take care. Stay blessed. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Cooper City. To nominate your favorite local business to be featured on the show, go to gnpcoopercity.com. That's gnpcoopercity.com. Or call 954-231-3170.